Kent Tesi, Senior Vice President, Minstar Bank and Farm Management Analyst.
Kent, a few topics to discuss today. Let's begin with the 2018 harvest across southern Minnesota. Rain continues to create problems and challenges, kind of similar to the spring, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of amazing. The really wet area has just kind of stayed in the same area of southwest and south central Minnesota and across the line into northwest, northern parts of Iowa, eastern South Dakota, and just seems like these systems kind of set up. And this one seems to have a little more coverage area. It's covering a little wider area, I think, of the state, both states, and keeping things wet. And it's really kind of slowed harvest down to a halt. And especially, as farmers that haven't had too much rain event, been able to get out and get a little bit of corn out here in the last week. But soybean harvest has really been slow, been very limited when we've had some days that have been fit for soybean harvest.
Are you hearing many farmers talk about corn stands and their concerns that that there might be some issues the longer this harvest drags out?
Well, I think there are some concerns there. Obviously, stock integrity is an issue, especially in certain areas with certain hybrids. And the longer this drags on, and of course, with potential of stock diseases and other issues, and as we get further into the fall, the likelihood of stronger winds as big fronts come through certainly increases the likelihood of more lodging and down corn. And we saw some of that here three weeks ago when we had some of the severe storms go through that flattened out some corn in parts of southeast Minnesota. So, I think there is some concern. And the soybeans become a concern, too. The soybeans, for the most part, have been mature now for, in some cases, 2 weeks or longer. And certainly the longer we go without being able to harvest those soybeans, and especially if we get some warm weather followed by wet weather and then warms up again, sometimes not only stock strength on the soybeans, stem strength, but also the pods can start popping open as it gets dry enough to harvest. So yeah, there's certainly some challenges out there, I think, as we go forward, especially if this weather pattern continues very long.
I was going to ask if you anticipate a lot of farmers are going to be in a situation where they're going to have to go out before the soil is fit, so they're going to be, mucking it up a little bit, and then also having to dry that crop themselves and that cost associated with drying the corn or even drying the soybeans this fall. And, you know, we've talked a lot the last few months and honestly the last few years about trying to limit expenses any way you can. So it certainly would have been ideal to let this crop dry down in the field.
Well, it would. Surprisingly, the corn that has been being harvested has been in the low 20s, 20 to 24% moisture, and farmers have been able to dry it down. And certainly if we get some sunshine and some good drying weather, we'd probably get that moisture down a little more. Now, obviously, some of the later planted corn probably isn't down to that moisture yet. Soybeans have been more of a challenge. I think farmers, in some cases, if they have the facilities, will take soybeans a little wetter and throw them in a bin and try and dry them down. But the soybeans, even on the best days, have been hanging around that 14-15% moisture. And ideally, I think farmers would like to have them down to 12 to 13 to harvest them. But as time goes on here, I think farmers take more chances. I think the other challenge is going to be, in some cases, depending how much rain we get this week, many of the fields are already saturated. And so far, we haven't had the excessive rains in many areas that have caused issues with getting through fields. But certainly if we get the 2 to 4 inch amounts of rainfall they're talking this week, there's going to be some issues even getting through some fields. And it may mean leaving parts of fields and parking, semis and things, even grain carts, if you can get through with grain carts on the fields. So It's going to get more and more of a difficult situation here, certainly if we get a lot of rain this week and we're getting later and later into the harvest season.
What have you heard on yields?
Well, you know, the yields have been kind of all over the board, I think. Obviously, if you're fortunate enough to not be in the hardest hit areas where we had too much rain most of the growing season, I think the yields are probably above average and pretty good. We've heard some very good yields out of parts of West Central and Northwest Minnesota, even parts of the Dakotas. And certainly if you get further west into South Dakota, Nebraska, where they didn't get all the rain, some good yields. But as you get into, you know, South Central, Southwest Minnesota, and across the line in Iowa, the soybean yields, I think, have been probably where the rains weren't real extreme and the crop loss, probably close to long-term averages, but probably 10 to 15% below where they were last year. A lot of, you know, yields in the 50s, low 50s, maybe up towards 60 on some better fields, which is, again, 10, 15% below last year. Now, if you get in the really bad areas, those yields drop off even further into the 40s or lower if you had a lot of drown-out areas. The disappointment's probably been the corn yields. It just seems like the corn never recovered from that extended 4 or 5 week wet saturated soil period we had. And just hearing, I guess I would say in the South Central, Southwest Minnesota, yields above 200 bushels an acre, kind of the exception rather than the rule. And there's a lot of yields in the 150 to 170 range. And certainly you get in the hard hit areas, they drop even much lower than that. So those yields are probably off a good 20 to 30% from where they, well, probably 25% from normal, and in some cases they're off probably about half of what they were a year ago. So certainly some really disappointing yields on corn. Now, you know, there's a lot of variation out there. I know I've talked to farmers where they've done several fields, and they'll have a field that gets up around 200 bushels an acre, and then they go down the road and do the next field, and it's barely making 150. So it's, but overall, the yields are definitely down across South Central and Southwest Minnesota.
And you know all too well, Kent, that yields the last few years, they've been very good, and that has really helped with these low commodity prices. And right now, especially with the trade disruptions, we're seeing extremely low prices, especially at the local level. So then if you compound that with disappointing yields, boy, the situation gets that much more bleak.
Well, it really does. And, you know, you're going to have so much variation this year, not just on the, when we get to the end of the year and financially, not just on the yield part of the situation, but on pricing. You know, some farmers forward priced a fair amount of soybeans last late winter, early spring, when we could still get $9.50 and above for new crop soybeans, local price. Other, you know, some people locked in some pretty nice corn prices back then. And others didn't price a whole lot of grain. And certainly now the prices, of course, are well below those levels. In fact, with the widening basis in many areas, there's a six in front of the local price for soybeans. And so it's very bleak even for folks that have average or above average yields. But certainly if you have below average yields, and again, a lot will depend on if you get some crop insurance compensation. And even the market facilitation program, which is very minimal on corn, but on soybeans, that gets paid on your actual harvested bushel. So if you have low yields, you get a lower payment for that as well. So you kind of get hit twice there, both on the yield loss as well as on the MFP payment loss or reduction.
And I do want to jump into the MFP and also crop insurance, but anything else related to harvest specifically before we change topics?
No, I think it's just, you know, one of those years that's been a battle. And what we really need is a couple of weeks of extended dry weather. We need some sunshine and dry weather. The temperature isn't as much a key, though warmer temperatures certainly help, but certainly just Just some dry weather, lower humidities, sunshine is what we need.
Yeah, as details started to come out regarding the market facilitation program, Ag Secretary Perdue had to answer some tough questions about the formula that they used. And I know one of the criticisms was they were going off production data. So if you had a farmer that was going to have less production this year, probably because of weather, their payment would be less. And there were some people upset about that. And he pointed those people to crop insurance, that's why crop insurance is there, to compensate for losses like that. And I'm sure you've had some similar conversations as we all become familiar with the way the government wants to help out farmers during this trade crisis.
Well, I think that is the logical answer. And, you know, the other thing is they say the justification is that the payments are based, you have to have the bushels to be affected by trade. The argument I would make on the crop insurance is crop insurance doesn't make you whole to 100% of your anticipated production. Depending what level you take, 80 or 85%, you're giving up some of that up front. So, you know, there is some discussion there on that, whether you're actually being compensated. Certainly it helps. But again, for those that are getting 10 or 15, 20% above their normal yield, like they are in places like Illinois and Indiana and parts of Nebraska, they certainly come out a lot better if you're getting 70 bushel soybeans than if you're getting 40 bushel soybeans. So, I think you can justify it however you want, but the bottom line is the payments are going to certainly fall far short for those people that got lower yields just because of they're not getting paid on the bushels that they aren't getting. So, and the corn payment is pretty much minimal, a penny a bushel, and you're only getting half up front. The big key here, I think, with soybeans is going to be if we do get that second payment, which most people expect, it's certainly going to help a lot of folks out. It'd be pretty dismal, I think, if we weren't getting those payments. So even though the yields might be down, it's still going to help a lot. And for some farmers, depending on what level of coverage they have for crop insurance, they will probably get a pretty significant crop insurance payment, too, if they had yield losses. So hopefully that combination will be enough to hold things together for a lot of folks.
Well, I assume the lack of a new farm bill won't have much of an impact on the 2018 crop, but as farmers think about 2019, again, uncertainty, we talk about it in so many facets of production agriculture right now, but as you're following along with what the House and Senate are doing on the farm bill and can they get this done before the end of the calendar year, as they've now missed that September 30th date, so the farm bill has expired. What are you paying closest attention to, Ken, and what are you directing the farmers that you work with to as far as the Title I program, you know, crop insurance, and how those formulations might be a little bit different if they do pass the 2018 Farm Bill?
Well, the Farm Bill, obviously, the point you make there, 2018, it's not going to have much effect because we were under the 2018 crop year was under the current Farm Bill. And any potential ARC County payments for 18 or PLC payments would be based off of the criteria in the current program. And I would say that for those farmers that did have are in counties that have the very low yields, there is potential for payments if prices stay fairly low into next year. So that's one thing to watch, especially for soybeans. There could be some payments. As far as 2019, my guess is what we'll end up with, we'll either get a new farm bill, and the commodity programs are basically similar to what they are in the current program with a few tweaks. Crop insurance, there wasn't any big proposed changes. If they don't get a new farm bill, then we'll probably get an extension of the current farm bill. Now, the big key there might be on corn, especially. If farmers are forced to stay in their current program, if they extend it, they'd have to stay in our county. My guess is, given the prices where they're at, most farmers would opt out to PLC for 2019 if they had a choice because of the price scenario. But we'll have to wait and see how that plays out and what the criteria is. We thought the commodity program was set, but in some of the negotiations now with some of the leaders, they're actually talking about some tweaks to the commodity program. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what comes out of this conference committee if, in fact, Congress is willing to act on it before the end of the year, or if we end up with an extension.